And welcome to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Rita Politon. Our topic today is Overcoming Fear, the First Step on the Road to Healing. And with me to talk about this is Christian Science practitioner Allison Rose Sonneson. Thanks for joining us today, Allison.
It's wonderful to be here.
Well, Allison, the reason we're recording this podcast right now is because of what we've all been hearing about so much in the news lately, and that's the coronavirus. And as our regular listeners know, on Sentinel Watch, we talk about ideas that help people overcome challenges through a better understanding of God and of ourselves as God's creation. And stay tuned for information at the end about how you can get more articles and testimonies related to healing contagion. So we brought you here today so that you can share some of your insights and how you've been praying about this current challenge.
Well, thank you, Rita, for the question. I have been doing so much praying and thinking on this topic, as I know all of our listeners have been, wherever they are in the world. And I live in a downtown area of the city, and so this is something that I'm not just reading about this on the news, but I'm also dealing with some of the day-to-day decisions that are being made. And the very first thing that I have been praying with, really since we first heard about this in the news, has been a beloved psalm to so many, which is the 91st Psalm, which really speaks to the protecting power of God and to our safety as God's beloved children. And that psalm starts, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." And it goes on to say, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And I'm so grateful for the promise that God makes in that psalm to all of us about His protecting influence and His love for us. And no one is left out of that. It's something that we can experience moment by moment as individuals and collectively as greater humankind.
That's such a comforting psalm. And I know so many people who have found tangible healing from the ideas that are in that psalm. So for someone who may be afraid still, what more can they do, perhaps even on a daily basis now, to really overcome that fear?
Well, you know, fear is an interesting thing because the whole purpose of fear is really to focus so much attention on a problem. It's not to focus on a solution. And it has a hypnotic effect on human thought that can paralyze our ability to think clearly and find solutions or freedom. And so as a Christian Scientist, I am so grateful for the lessons we have in the Bible and also in the writings of Mary Baker Eddy that help us wake from that kind of mesmeric dream that fear induces to help us realize our present safety, our present health, and our present well-being, no matter where we are at this moment in the world. And one of the things that I love so much is thinking about that still small voice of truth, that still small voice that came to the prophet Elijah in the Bible, and how at a moment of seeming desperation and fear for him, feeling overwhelmed by evil, he was afraid for his life because of his stand for God and stand for good, and he'd fled into the wilderness seeking solace, and God spoke to Elijah in a way that he could hear and understand in the midst of this time. And Elijah had taken refuge in a cave, and God called to him and said, "What are you doing here? Come out of the cave." And Elijah did. And then we read that there was a whirlwind that passed by, and a fire and an earthquake. But God wasn't in those expressions of destruction, something that would make Elijah more afraid. God was in the still small voice of truth that followed those. No matter what kind of fear was trying to be imposed upon Elijah through that earthquake, wind, and fire, he recognized that those were not what was powerful. Those did not have the power. That still small voice of truth had power. And when he acknowledged that voice, he was no longer afraid and he found a way forward. And during times of fear, I'm reminded of that story and reminded to listen for the still small voice of truth. That still small voice of truth is assuring us of our safety and our love and our joy and our dominion. And dominion means that God alone has authority and power, and that we are subordinate to God's authority alone because we are his spiritual creation. In the first chapter of Genesis, where it says, "Man is made in God's likeness," it says, "God gave man dominion over the whole earth." This means that nothing has authority over man but God, because man is God's spiritual likeness, reflecting God's authority. So we have authority to think rightly about everything on earth and throughout the universe. When we know that God is the only power and authority over all, we can exercise this authority in our prayers. Dominion was God's first gift to us, and it's a gift that can never be taken away. And an understanding of that dominion enables us to overcome fear.
I love that sense of dominion that you're talking about. And, you know, tell us more about what that's based on. Because I think if we look at the world as basically material world with material challenges that, you know, kind of have the power, that's a very scary view. And yet, the reason that Elijah and Christ Jesus could have that really palpable, tangible sense of dominion is because they saw the world very differently. So tell us more about that.
Well, they did see the world differently. And our dominion is based on who we really are as God's creation. And that first chapter of Genesis I mentioned speaks clearly about the spiritual creation of God. It doesn't talk about God as an anthropomorphic being who creates something in the image and likeness of matter or of an individual person. That first chapter of Genesis speaks of God that is spirit, creating his universe, including us, spiritually. We are spiritual. And that is the basis of our dominion and our sense of identity. And it's also the basis of our health and our safety, because the world, as you said, looks at everything from a material standpoint. The five corporeal senses are constantly sharing testimony based on what we see and touch and feel and smell, and then the consequences of that. And our spiritual sense, which is what expresses our real identity, which is what is referred to in that first chapter of Genesis as the spiritual creation. That informs our identity, it informs our safety, and it informs us of our dominion, our everlasting dominion as the spiritual image and likeness of God. And that's not something that can be touched. We are that spiritual identity right now. And because that is true, we can apply that understanding and that sense of dominion to whatever it is that we may encounter in this human experience. And that's what brings healing. And I was thinking about an experience I had last summer. I happened to go to a zoo, and there was a young lion there. And this lion, it was mature enough that it had a mane, and it was a very popular attraction, as you can imagine, at the zoo. But as I walked into where he was lounging comfortably in front of his admirers of people, I was so struck by his sense of dominion. He knew who he was as the king of the jungle, as they call lions. There wasn't a sense of insecurity about him. And when he roared, it was quite powerful. And it wasn't angry and it wasn't aggressive. It was just like a proclamation of, here I am, and I'm comfortable, and I know who I am, and I'm secure in who I am. And it was just, it was truly awe-inspiring. And it reminded me again of that still small voice of truth that Elijah heard after the earthquake, wind, and fire. And it reminded me of something that Mary Baker Eddy writes in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 559, when she says, "The still small voice of scientific thought reaches over continent and ocean to the globe's remotest bound. The inaudible voice of truth is to the human mind as when a lion roareth. It is heard in the desert and in dark places of fear." And I just loved that analogy, getting to witness that in the actual behavior of a lion and to hear how that roar reverberated everywhere and you couldn't escape it, and there's no other sound really like it. And that's what that voice of that still small voice of truth is like in our consciousness, telling us of our safety, telling of us of our inseparability from good God, telling us about our dominion as God's child, assuring us that all is well now.
Well, and it teaches a really great lesson. And, you know, Allison, this is the second time now you've been talking about that still small voice. Instead of listening to the voice that's coming to us over the news, what you're saying is that we need to go inward and listen to God, to really stop kind of the outside noise and listen to that voice. And that's something each one of us can do right now. We don't even have to wait. We can do it right at this very moment. Is that true?
That is true, Rita. Once we understand the truth of a situation, we can't unknow it. When you know what's true, error no longer has any sway in your thought. It's like knowing that 2 + 2 = 4. You'll never believe that 2 + 2 = 5. And it's just become so crystal clear. It's easy to dismiss anything untrue or incorrect because you just know the truth. And Christ Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And that's something we can experience instantaneously. And I wanted to share an experience that my husband's grandmother had. When my husband's grandmother was a young woman, she contracted tuberculosis. And she went to doctors who performed operations and finally determined that she was incurable. And she was placed in a sanitarium, an institution for people with incurable diseases. And she was there in isolation for a few years when a family member who had experienced a complete healing of a physical ailment through Christian Science told her about Christian Science and shared Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures with her. And she began reading that book. Now, she had grown up in a Christian faith, so there were some things that were instantly identifiable to her, but there were other things that were very different. And one of those things was that sense of dominion that God gives us and the truth of our identity. And after not that long, not a long period of time of praying through Christian Science, she was not receiving any medical treatment at the time because they didn't know what else to do for her. They were basically isolating her from society in order to protect others. She was completely healed through Christian Science. And in fact, she'd been told that she not only would never be able to be part of society again, but that she would never be able to have children. And she had 3 children with her husband that she married after she was released from this facility. And she never had that problem again the rest of her life and lived several decades beyond that. And I just love that sense that here she seemed to be isolated and she seemed to be alone, but it didn't and couldn't ever separate her from God. And that God had a way of helping her understand her relation to him and her identity as the child of God, even in that dire situation. And if you'd like to read a bit about it, you can find it in the June 25th, 1949 issue of the Christian Science Sentinel by Edith G. Gilbertson, with contributions from Alice Ulven Sonneson, my husband's grandmother. And I've just been in hearing about all the words like quarantine and social distancing that we've been hearing. That just was such an important point of our inseparability to God, and that we can never be quarantined from God or the kingdom of heaven. We are always safe and secure as the spiritual image and likeness of God, and that applies to everyone. And that truth removes the fear, that sense of mesmeric fear, that we could ever be in a dangerous situation or susceptible to anything but health and goodness.
Well, what a wonderful experience that proves God's dear, tender love for all of us. Thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing these very helpful ideas.
It was a joy to be with you.
I've been speaking with Alison Rose Sonneson, a Christian Science practitioner from Washington, D.C. And we'd like everyone to know right now that we are posting articles and testimonies for free on the themes of immunity, overcoming fear, family harmony, and economic security. New themes and content will be posted regularly as community needs change. This content is free for subscribers and non-subscribers to use and to share. And you can access them on both the JSH-Online homepage and from ChristianScience.com. And thanks for listening to this edition of Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.